Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10. There is no break between John 9 and John 10. And so the problem with our translation is that they put a break there. But it just goes right from the man born blind in John chapter 9 into Christ talking about the Good Shepherd. So this whole section is a polemic. It's written against the Pharisees. The Pharisees were terrible, terrible, terrible shepherds. They were legalists. They didn't care about the people. All they cared about were their rules and regulations. They were a horrible bunch. And so in this section, we looked at the first part of it all the way through verse 6 last hour. And the problem is that Jesus used this illustration. You see that in verse 6? He used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So in John 10, verses 1 through 5, he talks about shepherding and sheep, and they don't get it. They rejected Christ. They rejected the man born blind. And this section is telling him, you're in good company, having been kicked out by the Sanhedrin. They put him out, and that's when Christ found him after he was excommunicated from the hardened life of Israel and brought him very close to himself and explained to him that Jesus said, I am God. I am the one who is speaking to you. Now, before we get into this whole section, why do we talk about sheep here? What is it that brings Christ to this juncture? Why talk about sheep at all? And the reason for that is the Old Testament imagery, that throughout the Old Testament, you have a picture of God the Father as the shepherd of Israel. He is our shepherd. We're the sheep of his pasture. He takes care of us just like a shepherd takes care of his sheep. You know, Gentiles, they were more into raising pigs. The Hebrews, pig being an unclean animal, and they shouldn't have been raising them. So when you come to like Mark 5 with the Gadarene demoniac, what were the Jews doing raising pigs? That's a good question. What they were doing was selling the meat to the Romans. And, you know, trigonosis is a real problem with tainted pig meat. And so they were basically killing off their occupied armies of Rome by marketing the pigs to them. But, you know, in Mark 5, Christ sends the demons from the demoniac into the pigs. And they go, what are they doing having pigs? That's the reason. They shouldn't have had pigs in the first place. The other reason why we talk about shepherds and sheep is because David, Christ is the son of David. David's descendant, Jesus, has a lot in common with his predecessor, David. So these two reasons, the Old Testament imagery and Christ's lineal connections with David, I think are the reasons why he talks about sheep. Now, the main point of verses 1 through 10 is that the legalists, the Pharisees, are terrible, terrible leaders. So let's look at verses 7 through verse 10, and we'll pick up the same argument that we had last hour. Therefore, Jesus again said to them, again because they didn't get it, truly, truly, I am saying to you, I am the door. Very emphatic, very direct. I am the door of the sheep. This is the third I am statement of seven in John's gospel. So far we've had, I am the bread of life. And we've had, I am the light. So in John 10 we have two more. I am the door. And then verse 11, I am the good shepherd. So let's look at the next verse, verse 8. All, that is, whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. "Through me, if anyone should enter, he will be saved and will go in and out and will find green pasture." One more verse, verse 10. "The thief is not coming." The only reason the thief comes, "the thief is not coming except in order that he should steal and should butcher and should destroy. I came in order that they should have life," should be having life, "and that they should have it more abundantly." So in these sections, the whole point of this is to put Christ in contrast with the religious legalists of his day. The legalists are terrible, terrible leaders. One, because they don't believe in Jesus. That's the first reason. He is the door. To enter in by the door means to believe. That's it. It's very simple. All through John's gospel, you have this explanation: believe in me, whoever believes in me has everlasting life. Well, so here he's changing the figure of speech a little bit. He is the door. Now, it really fits this great illustration, because we talked about the whole way they kept sheep last hour. The sheep was a courtyard out of rocks high enough that no wolf could jump over it, and no door attached to it. The shepherd was the door. And so he'd park himself with his back on one side and his feet on the other side, and nobody came in and nobody went out except through the door. He was the doorkeeper, because he himself is the door. So when Christ says, "I am the door," he's meaning that nobody becomes a part of God's flock without believing in him. The problem with the Pharisees is that they do not believe in Jesus. That's the first real problem with them. They don't believe in Jesus. The second real problem is that they don't like people. The Pharisees don't like people. And to put it differently, they don't like sheep. They hate sheep. I remember years and years ago, I was sitting next to a pastor who was a leader of the Congregational Church, which has since gone under. But, you know, he said to me, we were at a hotel, and he said, "You see that man? He attends my church ever since he started attending. I've got his giving up 10%. And I thought, I got to get away from this guy. He's going to get struck by lightning. I couldn't believe that he knew what people in his congregation gave. What a horrible thing. No pastor should know what this people give. That he'd know it, and then that he's bragging about getting more money out of the guy. What's going on there? Well, he's a horrible shepherd. Why is he a horrible shepherd? He doesn't like sheep. He doesn't care about them. So as you go through this, you see that Christ says, these guys, they're thieves and they're robbers and they're killers. All they want to do is butcher the sheep. They don't care about sheep. They don't like them. So this main point here in verses 1 to 10 is that the legalists are terrible leaders in contrast to Christ. He's the door. And he is so much more than just the giver of life. The salvation that he gives, the everlasting life that comes as a free gift, is just the beginning. They go in and out of him and find green pasture. And we'll see as we go through that this has A truth and B truth. The A truth is salvation by believing in Christ. That's just the beginning. There's so much more by walking with the Lord, by following the Lord. They go in and out. So, you know, I suggest one thing we could do to remind ourselves of Christ and his love for you. Okay, because you're a sheep, right? Every time you go through a door, and just think about how many doors you go through. Just think about it in a day's time. How many times you go through the door? Go through the door. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What are you thanking him for? Well, he's the door, and he loves you. He cares about you. You know, it'd be a great habit, reminding ourselves about God's incredible, gracious care. You know, people around you will think you're crazy. Thank you, Jesus. My name's not Jesus. I didn't hold the door open for you, but you know what's going on. So the main point here, he's the door in conflict and contrast with these horrible religious rulers that only like their rules and they hate sheep. In verses 11 through 18, we're going to look at the next main point. And the main point of 11 through 18 is this. Jesus really, 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 really likes people. That's the point that he's making here. He really likes this man born blind. He really likes people. Let's look at verse 11. I am the shepherd. I am the good one, the good shepherd. The good shepherd is giving his soul on behalf of the sheep. Now, I know all your translations say life, but there are two different words, and I don't know why the translators didn't actually write the Greek here of psuche, which is soul. Does anybody have a translation that says soul? Or do they all say life? You know, when I came across this, there are a great Greek word for life, but that's not what he's talking about. He does give his life for us, but he gives his soul, the non-material part of himself. What's going on, I think, in Jesus' mind is his love and his compassion on the sheep. And you'll see it here in a number of different places. And every time I come across it, I'll translate it the way it's written. He is giving his soul on behalf of the sheep. This is on behalf of, this is your substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. Now, the hired worker, that is, the ones not being a shepherd, that is, they don't have the qualities of shepherds, the one to whom the sheep don't belong, they're not his own. So this is the hireling. The wolf, he sees the wolf coming. So the lousy legalist, he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep behind. Do you know what happens when you leave sheep behind? They are the most defenseless group, and the hireling flees, and the wolf seizes them and scatters the sheep. Now, the hireling flees because he is a hireling, and there is absolutely no interest to him concerning the sheep. But I, on the other hand, I am the good shepherd. So the hireling has no interest in sheep. He doesn't like sheep. Why is he there? Because he's being paid. He's a lousy shepherd. I was talking with a pastor in Germany, and he was working for the state church. And he knew the group that he was working for was apostate. And this man was actually an evangelical. He loved the Lord. His son was my roommate when I was going to school in England. And this man was very, very educated. And, you know, so we talked, we visited. He spoke English well enough for me to understand. And my German's pretty bad, but his English is very good. And so we talked for quite some time. And he knew all of the problems theologically with the German state church. And so when we came to the end of our conversation, I said, why don't you leave the state church and start an independent church where you can honor the Lord Jesus and teach the Bible? What do you think he said? He said, who would pay my salary? So, well, you can trust the Lord. He'll take care of you. I don't know whether he ever did or not. That was a long time ago. But the hireling, he sees the wolf. I have no skin in this fight. And off he goes. He takes off. He's not a good shepherd because he really, really doesn't care about the sheep. He just doesn't care about them. There's no interest on his part to take care of them. You know, my dad raised sheep. He was a good shepherd. He really cared about the sheep. As many years as I grew up, I don't ever remember a time when we didn't have sheep. We always had a flock of anywhere from 25 to 50 sheep, some years less, some years more. And I was always bottle feeding sheep because ewes always have twins, right? They never have anything but twins. They have two lambs. Always have two lambs. Once in a great while, you'll have a ewe that will have three lambs. Very rare, very odd. Well, that third lamb will die. So at that option, my dad would say, "You want to bottle feed this lamb?" And of course, I always said, sure. Had to be fed four times a day. Eagle brand condensed milk. Mix it with water. Warm it up. Tell us the right temperature. Put it in a Coke bottle with a big nipple on it. And take it out there. And I'm mom to that sheep four times a day. So one of the problems with sheep is that they're really, really afraid of wolves. They're really afraid of dogs. By the way, now you understand why one of my favorite movies is Babe. That'll do, sheep. Love the mice in that. So, you know, they're terrified. You can see a chihuahua, the man that owned the ranch where we kept the sheep. He had a chihuahua, and that chihuahua would run out in the backyard and bark, and the sheep would scatter. They'd run away from this little tiny dog that if they stepped on it, it would be gone. But one year, we had a wild dog that broke into the enclosure. We had, it was 40 acres, so it was a pretty big fence. He broke into the fence, and he killed one lamb, just completely killed, and another one we had to put down, a ewe we had to put down, and ripped up just half a dozen of these sheep of ours. Just went through them like a knife through butter. So what are you going to do with something like this? So my dad, being a good shepherd and caring for his sheep, he went and he got a little flatbed trailer, which I didn't, as a boy, I didn't understand why he would do that. Now I understand, but he got a flatbed trailer. It's about 5 feet wide and 6 feet long, and put it there in the sheep fence and put our bed in there. And the reason we were in the little trailer was because if we'd have been on the ground, the sheep would have been sitting on top of us. they would have been on top of the shepherd. So we were in this little trailer, and these sheep were so terrified because of the dog's attacks, not just one attack, but they were so terrified that they pressed all around the trailer and just squished us in there. If they could have, they would have squished us, but they were sleeping all around the trailer. And we slept out in the open air in that trailer, and my dad had the shotgun there, and sure enough, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sound asleep. Here's the bark of the dog. I never heard the bark. Never heard it. I was sound asleep. My dad wakes me up and says, "The dog is here. The dog is here." And apparently I squealed because the dog turned and took off. And so we hop out of the trailer, and both of us barefooted. We run across the driveway and across the yard, and we run maybe 50 yards and stop at a fence, and the dog was already another 50 yards ahead of us. And the dog stopped and turned sideways to us and looked back to see what manner of squealing was chasing him, which was me as a boy making too much noise. And I said, "Shoot him, shoot him." And my dad put the shotgun up and shot him, and that was the end of the dog right there. Out of 6 pellets, he hit him in 4 places. Now, why did my dad do that? Because he's a good shepherd. He cares about his sheep. Their lives are endangered. He's protecting the sheep. So Christ, when he says he's the good shepherd, he's the good shepherd because he loves you. You're incredibly valuable to him. "I am the good shepherd," verse 14. And I know, the word that there's two words in Greek for know, this means I closely know, gnosko. I am well, totally familiar with you. Gnosko means that you just really, really know it well. I have tools like that. One of them is my hammer. I had a carpenter's apron for 30 years. It wore out several years ago. I said, that's it, I'm buying a new one. And I bought a really nice leather apron, and I'm still getting used to it. It's not as comfortable as the old one was after 30 years. But my hammer, I'm really familiar with my hammer. It's a great hammer. Steve Hendricks gave it to me. I used to have a long 24-inch hammer with a 12-ounce head on it, and he said, oh, you got to get rid of that wooden handled hammer. And he gave me one that's become like an arm for me. It's just part of it. I'm really familiar with it. I know how to use it. I know it, gnosko, I know it, versus I know how to water ski. I've never been water skiing. I understand the idea of water skiing, but I've never done it. See the difference? One's a knowledge versus a very familiar knowledge. The word that Christ says here is that I know my sheep. And they know me. I'm known by the sheep that are mine. Just as my Father knows me. We'll get into this next section here in just a minute. The Father knows Christ as well as Christ knows you, and he loves you. Also, I know the Father, and my soul I lay down. I take it off on behalf of the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not out of this sheepfold. He's talking about Gentiles here. How many of you are Gentiles? That is, you're not a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Okay? That's who he's talking about here. Other sheep I have, which are not out of this sheepfold, them also it's necessary for me to bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So the point that Christ is making here is that Jesus really loves people. Unlike the legalist who loves rules, Jesus really loves people. And because of his love for people, and because of his willingness to go and bring as many people as possible to the Father, that's why the Father loves them. Look at verse 17. Because of this, my Father is loving me, because I lay down my soul in order that I should take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down from myself, of my own power. I have authority or power. It's both word. He has the right and the power to lay it down, and he has the right and the power to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So our Savior here is loved by the Father because of his love of the sheep. Now there's a division that comes in verses 19 through 21. There again was a division among the Jews because of the words that Christ had spoken. Now many of them were saying, you can see the conversations taking place, he has a demon, back to the first charge. And he is insane. He's out of his mind. Why are you even listening to him? And verse 21, others were saying, these are not the words of someone who's being demonized. A demon's not able to heal the blind, open the eyes of the blind, is he? Expects a positive answer to that question. He's not insane. He's not demonized. And so there's this big division between the people. So as we go through this passage, there's a couple of things I want to leave with you. First, that legalists do not like people, they like their rules. Whereas Christ really, really, really likes people, and he does whatever he can to secure them to the Heavenly Father that is done by through everlasting life comes by the work of Christ on the cross. And he also really likes people, and he provides and protects for them for everything that they need. So they will go in and out and find good green pasture. He is truly the good shepherd. So a couple of questions that might come up to us. What about people, or sheep in this context, who don't listen or who don't follow Jesus? This passage is used by Calvinists to try to argue that they never were sheep in the first place, okay? That they never actually believed. Well, one, that's outside of the scope of the passage, but I believe that there are two issues addressed here, and you can see that in verse 9. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Anyone who believes in Jesus receives the gift of everlasting life. And that's just the beginning. You believe in Christ and you receive everlasting life. And if you follow him, then you will go in and out and find green pasture. He repeats the idea in verse 10. I am come that they might have life, the everlasting life that's a free gift, and they may have it more abundantly. That's the everlasting life that is a reward for walking with Christ. It's both a gift and a reward, according to Scripture. So the abundant life comes as we go in and out and find green pasture. So here's your conclusion statement. God loves you with a love so great that it can never be earned, and a love so incredibly awesome that it can never be lost. Let's pray. Father, we